We're up to Simon Tofresh Yudalad, we're up to Seif Base. Well, we discussed El Chesneila Sasandal of wearing leather shoes, and we discussed that what's the halacha with regards to leather shoes. So we learned that leather shoes are certainly also. What about really comfortable shoes which are not made out of leather? Make out then it's definitely okay, correct? Mishneh Berurah. Correct. Correct. Mishneh Berurah does say in the name of some achronim that there is a chumrah if it's really comfortable and you feel really totally comfortable. Mishneh Berurah does mention a chumrah not to wear that. I saw today, and that's why I want to add this, Reb Shlomo Zalman had this. Reb Shlomo Zalman zichroni livrocha writes that the minhag is not like that Mishneh Berurah. He says people wear shoes which are really comfortable in Yom Kippur. And he wants to justify it and explain it. And he says it's fine. Shlomo Zalman says that you can wear extremely comfortable shoes if they're not made out of leather. And he says the following explanation. He says, unlike the Mishneh Berurah, he's arguing the Mishneh Berurah. And he says, because nowadays we're all considered istanis. We're delicate people. We're sensitive. And we can't take it. We're not trying to make the tanas difficult. On the contrary, we have to make it for the people a bit easier. And he says every strain becomes double difficult on Tanis. And you don't want to be suffering and just dragging and every 5 minutes look at the watch and everything is, you know, difficult. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says, we're all considered Istanis nowadays and that is why the custom is to be lenient, unlike the Mishneh Berurah. I just wanted to add that in. That's not how the Mishneh Berurah learns, but that's how Reb Shlomo Zalman paskens. Okay. Continues the Ramah. I didn't finish off the Ramah. So it's beginning of the line, starting Omuta. Omuta lamoid al korim v'ksosel shel oir. A person is allowed to stand on leather pillows and cushions. Umikol mokim nevertheless, hamachmir tova olav brocha. Somebody stringent shouldn't stand on leather cushions on Yom Kippur. Now, I cannot understand this. I can't. Because there's a gzera of Ne'ilah Sasandal. There's a gzera of Ne'ilah Sasandal. What's Ne'ilah Sasandal? Wearing leather shoes. I had to wear a leather belt, a leather couple, leather braces. Yeah, they're called Samech Neuflim in Yiddish. Are you allowed to wear? The answer is most certainly yes. Because the gzera is Ne'ilah Sasandal, the shoe is not allowed to be out of leather. Anything else is fine. So why on earth should it be a problem to stand on a leather cushion? I can't understand that. He says there's a chumrah, maker then you're allowed to, but it's a chumrah not to stand on a leather cushion on Yom Kippur. Yeah.
I heard on a tape about a rug that had shatters in it.
Okay.
So he was it's not nailed to the floor. It's certainly even if you're sitting on it, you're not wearing it.
Right. So the visha,
an issue somehow to if you wrap it around yourself.
There is. It's true. There is a chumur there of sitting on shatness. There's a chumur of sitting on shatness. Correct. I hear that's maybe a Pesach, an opening to some understanding. I must point out, the Mishneh Berurah doesn't say anything about this, but the Behetev Asu brings from Radvaz and Sivkot and Dalet. Behetev says, Radvaz Kosev Dein can base Mecha Shafila Bekoshim. The Behetev said there's nothing to talk about over here, even if they're hard. It's not, the Chumrah doesn't make any sense. But that certainly was what the Ramah brings. That is, there's a Chumrah, Mekah, then it's fine, but there's a Chumrah not to stand on leather pillows or cushions. I'm sure that's what people. Why do people do that? Why was it such a minik?
Of course, it's related. It may not be like wearing it, but it's related to wearing leather shoes because you're standing on them. It's like you stand on your shoes.
Yeah, but it's like you're adding.
I take a guy's point about the wearing it. Standing is not wearing it.
Yeah. You're saying it's a second cousin type of thing. It's a second cousin. Okay. It's a tolda. Yeah. Yeah, you think you're adding another point over here. You're adding an element of protection. There's some sort of protection, so it's soft, and there is some sort of protection to the lead. Okay, I'm taking that. Yeah, good. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Ramon Tziv Gimel. Hachaya, a lady that just gave birth, kol shloshim yom, for 30 days, muteres linoyes a sandal. She's allowed, lady just gave birth, she can't take it all, it's difficult for her, you have to support and help, and therefore she's allowed to wear leather shoes. Vachoyle, and somebody is ill, kyoitze bezeh, similar to that, afal pisha, ein boy sakon, even if he's not threatened, he hasn't got a threatening illness, he's allowed to wear leather shoes. V'chein mi sheish lemaka beraglov, also somebody has got a wound on his foot, he's allowed to wear leather shoes. Good. I'm going to answer that. Says up Shlomo Zalman the following point. Shlomo Zalman says, oh, so somebody is not well, a lady just gave birth, she's allowed to wear leather shoes? Why is that? Why is she allowed to wear leather shoes? Why should I have to wear the shoes? Now, let me ask you a question. Nowadays, do you think this halacha applies as well? Why? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, a good company, Shlomo Zalman says that nowadays this halacha does not apply. You've got alternative nowadays. There's plenty of things she can wear. What, leather shoes you need to wear? Dafka leather shoes. You can wear plenty of things. Crocs, different trainers, different shoes. You can find plenty of alternative footwear. You don't have to dafka wear your leather shoes over here. Therefore, this halacha doesn't apply. Doesn't apply. We dafka, nowadays, there is no room to be lenient. As far as Shlomo Zalman said, there's no room to be lenient, as the Shulchan Aruch says. Does that help? Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. There was no alternative in those days. Nowadays there is. And more than that, says the Shulchan Aruch carries on the following. Mutakol Adam Linoil Sandal. Every person is allowed to wear leather shoes. Machmas Akrav, if there's scorpions around. If you're worried about scorpions biting you, you're allowed to wear leather shoes. If there's scorpions around, or any other animals that can bite. It carries on even further than that. If there is rain, and he wants to go back to his house, all muddy. He won't be able to make it home. It's totally muddy. So, from the shul, he wants to go home quickly just to check if his wife is fine. And he wants to go back home afterwards. And he can't make it with his socks. So he wants to wear leather shoes. If he's an istanes, he's allowed to wear leather shoes, and that's fine. It's fine. Now again, what do you think Shlomo Zalman says about this? Shlomo Zalman says, nowadays it won't apply. It won't apply. Even if you're an Easterner, wear something else. Choyle, Chaya, all these people, it's very muddy. You come on, you'll find other shoes. Don't be so fussy. You'll find other shoes today. Yeah. Beautiful question. Very good question. How can it be that if it's an inui, if it's inui is mederaisa, that's how the Mishnah Berurah paskens. How can it be that? It's a discussion on its own. It has to do with the fact that it was only It's only with the rice if it's over here again, if it has a tanug in it. Anything beyond that is not the rice as well. It's a topic on its own. It's a very good question. It has to do with the rice element of an inui. Over here, okay. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, we mentioned, what about if somebody wears leather shoes that, let's go to the other end. We mentioned, what if somebody wears shoes that look like leather, but they're not leather? Is there a shal of maris ha'ayin? We discussed that, and we came to the conclusion that what's the halacha? According to some, there is. According to many, there isn't. Because nowadays, all the shoes look like leather, and they're not really leather. So many poets can actually make it. Another shayla, which is very interesting, and that's a fascinating tshuva of Shlomo Zalman, he discussed, what if somebody's one of those people over here? Leaving out Shlomo Zalman's point that nowadays, nobody can rely on that. But say somebody, 100 years ago, he was wearing leather shoes because he's a choyla. Was wearing leather shoes because of the choyle. Oh, there's scorpions around. He's wearing leather shoes. Is there a problem of maris ha'ayin? Interesting, no? Maris ha'ayin, he's wearing leather shoes. Interesting one. There's no maris ha'ayin? Obviously not, because of that. That's what Shlomo Zalman brings out. Obviously not. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting shaila, because I'll tell you what it's got to do with. Shlomo Zalman discusses the shaila of scheitlich. Ladies wearing scheitlich. Scheitel. A scheitel. He said, why is there no problem by a sign? Because it looks like you have to cover the, ladies have to cover their hair. And if you put a scheitel on, it doesn't, you can't see, you know, it looks like it's a shadow of Maris Ryan. That's what Shlomo Zalman asks. Interesting question.
I don't understand the question. I mean, even when he was asked the question, Shlomo, rave women for wigs.
They did. But why does wigs help in the first place?
They didn't look that way.
It's a universal divide.
So you're saying that because it's your
do it, that there's loads of leather shoes.
Right. Good point. Not as muchach. Okay.
It's even when Rav Shlomo Zalman was around, certainly the wigs that we have now look a lot more like real hair.
Oh, that makes it more problematic.
It's still the one that people would know, but certainly you could tell if someone's wearing a sheitel.
Right, okay, so it's based on that people could tell if it's a sheitel or not. Yeah, that's what he's basing his answer on, but he leaves a bit with a tzach here. Okay, I just want to ask, somebody asked the other day, about are the shoes mukta, are leather shoes mukta on Yom Kippur or not? What do you think? Leather shoes mukta on Yom Kippur? Leather shoes? No? Why? Very good. So the Emes of Shlomo Zalman said they're mukta, and that's why I always thought that they're mukta. But I just saw that Emes in Keredit Stake says exactly what you're saying. So since there is cases that someone is allowed to wear leather shoes, so therefore, it's not going to become mukta. Yeah, you have a choyle, or you have others that can potentially wear it, scorpions, whatever. Then it could be okay. But again, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, probably shitosoi. Reb Shlomo Zalman held it were mukta because he probably held that nowadays there is no such helter at all. Yeah, okay. Simon Tovresh Tesvov. Yom Kippurim also betashmish mitzvah. Now we're moving on to the last and final of the five inuim, the five affliction. The fifth one is the issa of tashmish amita of marital relations. Yom Kippurim also betashmish amita. Yom Kippurim is also to have marital relations. Ve'also lika be'ishtoi, a person is not allowed to touch his wife. Kelo inida as if she's a nida mamash. Ve'chein also lishan im ishtoi be'mita. Also the same. All the other halachas apply as during the days of nida. The Mishnah Berurah explains Sifkot Na'alaf also lika be'ishtoi ben belayla u ben beyoim, whether it's by night or by day. Now this is unlike your Tisha B'Av. We learned on Tisha B'Av the hachok is a little bit more lenient during the day, because on Tisha B'Av a person is anyway is not clean, he's not wearing nice, there's not much chashash. However, on Yom Kippur, but he's dressed nicely, and therefore a person has to have more distance and make sure nothing happens, and therefore ben b'yoyim ben b'laylo there is isur of touching his wife. V'gam lo yarbim u'bidvorim v'chein b'kol haprotim sh'nisba b'yerideh sim kuf tzadihei. All the halachas that we find in yerideh sim kuf tzadihei, which is the halachas of achokas, apply as well. That means that to be, for instance, the halach of distancing the bed and the halachas of passing over, all the achokas that we find kuf tzadihei apply on Yom Kippur as well. Everything applies well. There was a shayla that Reb Shlomo Zalman was asked with regards to a kfata. Interesting shayla. Kfata on Yom Kippur. A kfata? Kfata is a bris. When there's a bris, so you're passing over the baby. You know, two people pass, you know, pass the baby. So I like to pass over the baby because it's a problem. It's mamash a problem. Not necessarily. It could be, but it's not necessarily. Yeah, so normally you're going to, you know, if you need it, it's a problem. It's a problem. So over here, the problem is over here on Yom Kippur is that everybody's in the same boat. Shlomo Zalman was actually quite makel here. It was actually quite makel. But it's a shaila. It's definitely a shaila how to do it. Okay, see, base haroye keri belela kippurim. Somebody who is Rachman and Tzana keri on Yom Kippur. Yida kol ha-shana should be worried the entire year. Veim also le-shana, if he made it through the year, everything went fine during the year. Muftach loy, that's a guarantee. Shu'u bein olam abo, that he's a bein olam abo, he's guaranteed to go into the olam abo. The poskim say this doesn't, it's not true nowadays. This was only true with great tzaddikim. But unfortunately for nowadays, somebody becomes a keri, it's not such a great sign. It's because he didn't have very good thoughts during the day, or some things went through his mind which weren't quite right. And therefore, if he's a keri, that doesn't mean much. And if he makes it through the year, it means even less. It's It's not a sign for anything. However, lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah does say a person should take that seriously, and a person should learn double, and should do some a tshuva to it, and he should learn Torah, and he should do tshuva when such a thing happens. I just want to point out for us dear Shuyidin, there is in Sifkot and Gimel an important point. Mishnah Berurah says that a person should learn Torah, but what Torah should he learn? What's the important? What's the most important part of Torah a person should learn? So if you look at the last two lines of Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Gimel, he says the following: Ve'ikar limud haTorah, the main part of Torah, yeah, al menas lekaim, should be halacha lemaisa. The ikar Talmud Torah is halacha lemaisa. He says al menas lekaim, in order to fulfill. Somebody learns Torah, but it's not interested in how to keep it, how to fulfill the Mishnah Berurah. No yachloish leiva, better that he's not created at all. K'moish omu Chazal, v'gam lo ye bekoicho le'ogin olav, the Torah that is not fulfilling the Torah, that it's not protecting him at all. Chas v'shalom. But over here, this is a good source for Mishnah Berurah Yidin over here, that the Iker Talmud Torah is halach lemaisa. That's what we're here for. Very nice. Okay. That leads us to Siman Tov Resh Tei Zayin. Let me just have a start with Siman Tov Resh Tei Zayin. So we've discussed all the Inuim. Now Siman Tov Resh Tei Zayin is discussing with regards to children. What age does a child need to fast? What happens if a 4-year-old child wants to fast? Are you allowed to let him? What about 11-year-old? Is he meant to fast? Some of it, not. What about boys? What about girls? All that is discussed in this Siman Tov Resh Tei Zayin. Haktanim Mosai Aschidu Isanos. Children, when are they meant to fast? So he says over in Sif Aleph, Tinoikus Mutorim Bechol Elu. A child, Tinoikus doesn't mean a baby. It means a child. Mutorim Bechol Elu. They are allowed to do all the Inuim. So they're allowed to wash, they're allowed to smear, they're allowed to eat, they're allowed to drink, everything. Chutz Menelas Sandal. The only one that they are not allowed to do is Nelas Sandal, wearing leather shoes. Why? He's allowed to eat, he's allowed to drink, he's allowed to put oil on himself, he's allowed to wash. The only thing that he's not allowed to do is wearing leather shoes. Why? Says the Shulchan Aruch, She'ein choshen kol kach im lo yinolu, because nothing will happen to him if he doesn't wear leather shoes. Which is very interesting, because what does that teach us with regards to all the other Inuim? It teaches us that the Gemara says that if a child doesn't eat, it's really unhealthy for him. If a child doesn't drink, even for some, it's really unhealthy. Even sicha is important for a child. Washing, it sounds like for me, it's not just hygienic, it's not just unhygienic if it doesn't wash, but it's important for the gidol. What's it sound like from the Gemara? That it's important for the growth of a child to be clean. Does that make sense to you, Rabbi Yisai? It's not just hygienic, but it's important for the child. So therefore, if a child needs to wash, you'll have to wash him on Yom Kippur, if necessary. But he's not included in the Inuim. The Inuim don't apply to him. The Inuim don't apply. The five afflictions don't apply to a child. Tinoikos means children. We're going to define that and qualify that shortly in Siv Beis. You're right. But we're going to define exactly the ages in Siv Beis. Yeah, I'm trying to avoid that point, exactly the age, because that's going to be in Siv Beis.
Sounds like they're in the Istanis category.
They are even less than that. Istanis is a heter, if the Issa applies, there's a heter of Istanis. So here we're saying they're not even included in the Issa. The Gemara continues. You're allowed to ask a goy to wash and smear, but to feed a child, you're allowed to give him food. There's a very interesting opinion that holds that. Let me ask you the following question. Are you allowed to give a child more than necessary in Yom Kippur? Okay, he's had his breakfast. Good, fancy breakfast. He's had his lunch, and now he wants a bit more. He wants a biscuit here, piece of cake there. You know what it's like. Are you allowed to feed? Good, one second. You're saying a very good point, but I'm not even there yet. I want to ask, does he have an issa? Because if he's going to make it, he just wants to have his biscuit. It's fine? Why? No issu. Oh, very good. We're saying 2 points. The first point is, the first level is there's no issa at all. Once there's no issa, there's only Yom Tov. Very good. So that works very much together. So that's going to be safe base. That we are not discussing a general. Okay, so the thing is that the Inu, the way we're going to train him for Inu, we're going to learn that in Seif Beis, but I think that's not going to be tonight. That when we're defining Inu is not by restricting the amount of food, it's just that the time gap. We're going to see that in Seif Beis. When he gets into the category of Chinuch, which is when he's actually close to Bar Mitzvah, then it's a matter of just not you give him plenty, but instead of even eating after 3 hours, you're going to feed him after four. Instead of, if he normally eats after 4 hours, you're going to feed him after five. That, you distance it. But once he eats, give him as much as he wants. So, I want to see Sifkot Na'alef over here in Mishnebura. Sifkot Na'alef in Mishnebura. Mutarim b'chol el b'rechit tzv zichr v'achil v'shtir. Sh'loi gozro al ha'ktanim. They will never gozro on ktanim. Omotel le'godel ha'achil v'lashkoi. So you have to give him as much as necessary, right? It sounds like from Mishnebura. You can give him whatever he wants. Give him his biscuits, his sweets, his candies, his chocolates, whatever he wants. He can eat as much. It's no problem at all. No restriction at all. That's what it sounds like from Mishnebura. Sifkot base just about need as a sandal. If a child doesn't wear leather shoes, that doesn't affect him at all. That's why need as a sandal still applies to a child. And then he says that the Gemara over here, as opposed to achile, shtir, v'chitz, v'sicha, all the other things, they actually help the child to grow. And as opposed to Nilas a sandal, it doesn't make a difference at all. Shekenu aminuk bismanom. Right, just to finish off before we move on, before we break off for tonight, the Reb Nissen Karelitz wants to know about Nilas a sandal nowadays. Reb Nissen Karelitz discusses that. Do you think that a child is allowed to wear leather shoes? If you call it a Shabbos leather shoes, allowed to give it to him on Yom Kippur? Nowadays, 8-year-old kid, why not? Right, no, right, right.
Lots of alternatives.
Pardon? Because, yeah, so you're saying that, one second, Lloyd, he shouldn't wear, so he's not allowed to wear. What are you reading? Yeah, chutz min ha-sandal means that the innocent sandal does apply to him. The ista does apply. He mustn't wear leather shoes. Good, yeah? Yeah? Right. Right. Right, no, definitely, definitely. That's halach l'maisa, definitely, yeah. It makes no...
All our houses have got nice floors, which wasn't necessarily the case. Years ago.
Definitely, that's a point as well. If he's anywhere at home, there's no reason to make it anyway. That's right. Yep. Okay, very good. Okay, we'll stop over here.